Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you for the weeks gone, and we thank you for the week coming. We bless your holy name, God, and we know that it will be great. We know that it will be well. Father, as we enter the last quarter of 2015, where the months have gone, Lord God, we don't know, but we know that you hold them. Father, many times we don't know what tomorrow holds, but we know that you hold tomorrow. That's what counts, Heavenly Father, your blessing, your favor, your goodness upon our lives, Lord God. What can we say but thank you? What can we say but praise you? In Jesus' mighty name, and all God's people said, amen and amen. Give the Lord a hand of praise and please... Please take your seats in heavenly places. Wonderful. You're all looking so good. Some of you look so young. Some of you look so old. Some of you look very hungry. There was a mighty man of God once, and he left a legacy on earth. His name was Colonel Sanders. Jesus. That secret blend of herbs and spices. Woo! Praise God. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, I know where I'm going. Hallelujah. It's on my heart to share with you this morning about the seen and the unseen worlds. We live in a seen, touch, taste, feel, smell, hear world. But there is an unseen world. There is an unseen world. And we serve an unseen God. In fact, I looked this morning as I was studying out for this message, I just looked up the word invisible in Scripture, because like you can't see God. It'd be handy if you could, but you can't see him. Amen. And what did it say? Let me try and find it again now. It was amazing. Just look up the word invisible, right? It talks about things that have been created by God. It says, since the creation of this world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that we are without excuse. That's Romans 1:20. So the Bible says, basically, that the seen world was created from the unseen. It wasn't the other way around. And if we're going to do for God, and if we're going to achieve for God what he's called us to achieve, we've got to put the unseen world first. The things you can't see have got to come first. Can you say amen? Amen. Another scripture, it says here, that Jesus, in Colossians 1:15, it says, he is the image of the invisible God. Jesus Christ, it was the seen image of the unseen God. And now, you can't see Jesus. He's gone to heaven. It's getting thin on the ground, the things you can see. Amen. And then it says in Timothy... Well, actually, Colossians 1:16, the next verse, it says, by him all things were created, both in the heavens and in the earth, visible and what? Invisible. Seen and unseen. Colossians 1:16. Whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. So there are rulers and authorities, thrones and dominions that you can't see. This thing is getting more and more invisible as time goes by. Amen, right? And then it says in 1 Timothy 1:17, it says, now to the King eternal, immortal, invisible, to the only God, be honor, glory, forever and ever. Amen. So turn to your neighbor and tell him, you can't see him, but he's there. You can't see heaven, but it's there. You can't see hell, but it's there. You can't see the realm of the spirit, but it's there. In my own personal life, one of the things that I always wanted to do was to see into the unseen realm. Anyone been like that? We used to sing that song, "Open my eyes, Lord, I want to see Jesus." You remember that? Yeah. To reach out and see, while you guys were out boogieing and robbing banks, I was in praising the Lord. Hallelujah. Now there's a reversal of fortune, huh? To reach out and touch him, to tell him I love him. Open my ears, Lord, and cause me to listen. And then Jesus said things in the word like, my sheep hear my voice. Well, how come you can hear someone that's not even seen? Huh? My sheep hear my voice. My sheep know my voice. My sheep follow my voice. The voice of another, they simply will not follow. So there's something about this unseen world that you can hear. In fact, the servant of God, you remember this story in Scripture, I think it's around 2 Kings 4, 5, somewhere around there, where Elisha and his servant were on a mission for God in, I think it was Samaria, and they were suddenly surrounded by foreign armies, and the servant panicked. You remember that Scripture? And Elisha was happy, just saying, oh Lord, open his eyes. And suddenly there were chariots and horsemen and all kinds of armor and swords and all that kind of stuff that had manifested from the unseen realm into the seen realm. Bam! And the servant wasn't sad anymore, right? So I started to wonder, when I was growing up in Christ, I said, Lord, I want to see into this world. I want to be a partaker of the unseen nature. I want the unseen to be bigger in my life than the seen. And then I realized this. I realized that I could take things that I saw in the unseen, and by my, if you like, my faith mechanics operation, that's the only way I could, my faith apparatus on the inside of me, manifest them on the outside. So things like healing, I could take something that the Lord says in Scripture, and I could make it so big in the unseen realm that it eventually would manifest in the seen realm. Amen. So I didn't have to be sick anymore. Then I realized I don't have to be poor anymore. That for our sakes, he became poor so that we, through his poverty, might be what? Made rich. So I thought, wow, you know what? I can take this where I am today, living on 28 quid a week in the west of Ireland, where the rain, you know, you've got to understand that the rain doesn't fall in Ireland. It goes sideways. Like an umbrella, you know, you'd think umbrella sales in Ireland would be a great thing to sell. No point. Forget it. Because you'd have to walk with the umbrella in front of you and above you and around you and behind you, right? You know what? I used to work for my cousin in Ireland. And one time he sent, now I used to ride a bike. I got this bike for 20 quid. If you can imagine, you know the way that like bike wheels are supposed to line up. Well, this bike was like a triangle. I mean, you could stand it up on its own because one wheel was like this and the other was like that. And so you didn't even have to stand it against the wall. It just stood up on its own. And so it was really hard to ride, but it was the only thing I had, right? And so my cousin, he sent me on this errand. He was a carpenter. I was learning carpentry. That's where I learned all my DIY skills and everything like that. So if you've been to the cafe here, I laid the floor in the cafe. If you've been upstairs in the lounge, I laid the floor in. It's not bad. Darius a builder. It's not bad effort, is it? 4 or 5 out of 10 or something. Yeah, okay. So if you trip over there, just call Darius and he'll fix it. Hallelujah. So I learned all my skills that way. But you know, when you start out in carpentry, usually they take the mick out of you. So the guy sent me to the DIY store, right? This is my cousin. And he told me to go and get a bag of rubber nails. Can you imagine? And he told me to get a skirting ladder. A skirting board ladder. You know the ladder, like what kind of ladder would you need for a skirting board? And there was all kinds of stuff like, so I went into the DIY shop and the guy said, sorry, somebody's taking the mickey out of you here. Are you new on the job? And I said, yes. And then it's like, are you English? Yes. You know, it was double. But I had to cycle there on this 20 quid bike in the rain, with the rain going sideways and then coming back in the rain. And I was like a drowned rat. And of course, like everyone's then laughing at me in the place, and it was just horrible. It was humiliating. It was all, I just need some sympathy right now. I'm hungry, I'm cold. No, I'm joking, I'm kidding. But you see, I went through, I wasn't worried about what I was going to have to go through, because that was the place where I got saved. That was the place where I knew that God had me. And then when you're in the will of God, like, nothing else matters. I had something on the inside that was bigger than anything on the outside that said I was in the destiny plan of Almighty God. And that's what counts. Amen. I don't know anyone who's seen the will of God. Like, you can't go and, like, open a cupboard suddenly and there's a list from the Lord Jesus Christ saying, this is my will for you. In fact, if you do see something like that, chances are it's one of your mates playing a trick on you and, you shouldn't follow it. Especially if it says, like, go to China or North Korea or something like that, you know. The inner voice of God has got to be bigger than the outer voice of your circumstances. And that was what was happening with me. And I suddenly realized, you know what? This unseen world is bigger than this seen world. So we'd be at prayer meetings and I would hear the guy who was our leader, who was a guy from Dublin, and he would talk about, you know, oh, God's moving, God's doing this, God's doing that, God's doing the other. And I was saying to myself, in my spirit, I was saying, Lord, if this is happening, if this guy is for real, I want to see it too. And something, you know, the Bible says that if you hunger and thirst for righteousness, you'll be satisfied. So anything that's good and righteous and holy that you hunger and thirst for, God will honor that prayer. Amen. Hallelujah, that's good news. And so I started to see in the unseen realm. I started to see stuff that was going to happen before the guy said it was going to happen. So I knew that he was telling the truth because I'd seen it too. Right? And I'm praying that you'll want to know this unseen realm. You see, there's a realm where you become untouchable. Life circumstances will slip off you. Where the things, what was that song? Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful way. And the things of life will go strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Well, for me, the things of this world went strangely dim very quickly because there was like nothing to see out there anyway. Do you see what I mean? So I spent time in my room. I spent time in the presence of God. I remember the first time that God, his presence walked into my room when I was praying. I remember what that was like. I remember seeing the light of his presence coming from afar. And you know, you've got to know the absence of God before you know the presence of God. It's a real good key into learning about the presence of God. Turn to your neighbor and tell them, get to know his absence. You see, it's when you know his absence then that you can tell his presence. So a couple of times, like for maybe what, I don't know, it felt like weeks, but I think it was about 8 to 10 days, I'd be praying in my room and there'd be no one there. And I knew there was no one there. And all I would do is sit there and call upon the name of the Lord and just call upon him. Lord, I want to know you. I want to, what was I doing? I was seeking God. Do you see what I'm saying? The word seek means to prioritize. So I was prioritizing God. I was cutting everything else out. So too much time, we get into the presence of God and just babble away. Oh, Lord, I need this. I need that. I need that. Bless Uncle John. Bless Uncle Tommy. Bless Auntie Mavis. Bless Auntie such and such and such. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah, Shandai. Bang. Gone. And you don't know the God you're praying to. We've got to get to know him. Know what his presence is like. Know how it feels. Know which way his spirit is moving in a particular direction or in a particular meeting. It's very, very important. Get to know the presence of God. Until you come out of your own ways, until you can come out of your own ways of doing things and thinking that you're right, can then God show you. When you think you're right, well, God will just leave you there. Right? How many times has God left me there in my own stupidity? All right, sit there and stew. Like oxtail. Hallelujah. Hey, Lordy. Oh, my goodness me. For the first time in my life, I was watching the Food Network. Hey, Mommy. Heston Blumenthal. The guy is a genius, man. What that guy did with oxtail is amazing. Oxtail pudding. And then he injected the gravy into it so it would be lovely and moist. And then he invited his friends. He didn't invite me. He invited his friends around. To, Jesus, my God. Hey! Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, we're talking about the unseen world. But how many of you, when I was talking, you saw that one? Oh, yes. Oh, yes. And that's how... You see, that's how the unseen world manifests in the seen world. It occupies your mind. It occupies your vision. It occupies your senses. The Bible talks about those who have trained their senses to discern good and evil. So there's a training that you can put your senses through even under the guidance of the Holy Spirit that you become sensitive to his leading and you can smell him. Scripture says you can. When my beloved came into his chamber, it says, my perfume gave off its fragrance. Song of Songs. Remember that? Do you remember when the woman washed Jesus' feet? And the Bible says in John, around the 12th chapter, the Bible says that the whole house was filled with the fragrance. You remember that? Yeah, that's all spiritual stuff. Amazing, isn't it? And you can train yourself to know. You can train yourself to know when there's a prayer spirit, when there's a praise spirit. There's a time to be still and there's a time to shout. There's a time to rest and a time to die. Do you understand? And what does it say in the book of Ecclesiastes? There's a time and a place for everything. So we've got to know our time and our place. And you can know in advance the time and the place that you're supposed to be in. And you'll never miss God. May you never miss God. In the name of Jesus. There's a time to sow and a time to reap. Yeah, I didn't know that. Because everything I'd ever heard was sow, 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 give. What does the Bible say? The leech has two daughters. Give and give. Hey, if... Oh, my God. We won't go there. Seen and unseen. Now, if you've got your Bible, turn to Luke chapter 16. I want us to see something here, and I want to demonstrate it. So I need someone who's light and short. No, that's unfair. I'm always picking on Rora. I'm not having Rora this time. Yeah. Maggie, no, she's too short. No, let's have Tim, and then I need two strong guys. I need Joel, and is that Eke with his backside to me? Yeah, Eke and Joel, come here, please. I want to demonstrate something here, right? Now, in Luke 16, there is a very, very commonly known story about the rich man and Lazarus, right? And I want to demonstrate this thing. And I need an Abraham. Temi, you'll be my Abraham today. Wonderful. It's because Temi's got such a happy countenance. There you go. There we go. Let's put the chair up there. That's great. And you can be in the great void. You just sit there now, big smile, because you're so happy. Everything's gone right. Praise the living God, right? Now, the Bible says that there was a rich man. Now, for the sake of this, let me have Wafapi as the rich man. But this is just for... This is a rich man that isn't going where this rich man went. Okay. Let me give you the scripture reference. Let me give you Luke chapter 16 and verse number 19. We'll read from 19. Luke 16, 19. It says, now there was a rich man. Now, Tim, where's Tim? Here we go. Okay. Rightio. You'll be Lazarus just because they have to carry you. So, yeah.
Lie down.
Okay. No. Stay there. Stay on your feet for now. Now, there was a rich man and he habitually dressed in purple and fine living, fine linen, joyously living in splendor every day. Now, the first thing, when Jesus said this parable, how many of you've got a Bible where the words of Jesus are in red? Right. So this is a parable taught by Jesus, right? Now, a parable is a parallel truth. Do you understand? It's not just a story. Jesus could tell a story about a pig that flew, but that wouldn't be a parable because pigs don't fly. Do you see what I mean? Yeah. Right. So this is a parallel truth. This is a parable, right? That's where we get the words parabolic. You know, if something's beside... Anyway, right. Okay. Now, when Jesus told this story, people would have known when he mentioned living in purple and fine linen, you see, that's talking about royalty. This guy was either royalty himself or he was connected to royalty. In fact, some Bible commentaries, if you look at Bible commentaries, some of them say that there might have been either Herod Antipas or a relative of Herod Antipas himself. So when the crowd will have heard this story, they will have known, ooh, I think he's talking about such and such. Right? Okay, that's important. Verse 20. And a poor man named Lazarus. Now, this is for the purposes of illustration only. Thank God Tim is prosperous and highly favored in Jesus' name.
Not covered in sores.
And he's not covered in sores, yes. And Sticky the dog doesn't lick his sores. Oh, I should have brought Sticky for this as well. And a poor man named Lazarus was laid at his gate, covered with sores. 21. And longing to be fed with the crumbs which were falling from the rich man's table. Now, what does the law and the prophets say about rich people ministering to and blessing poor people? It talks about remembering the poor. It talks about even when you glean your fields, you're supposed to leave the edges of the crops for the poor, right? That's how Ruth, that's why Ruth went to see Boaz originally. She knew that she wouldn't starve to death because at least he's got fields and there'll be stuff left there, right? Okay, so this rich man wasn't obeying the laws of Moses, right? The prophets, he wasn't obeying the prophets, which came after the law, the Bible says. So there's a clear differentiation in Scripture between the law and the prophets, right? So he wasn't obeying the voice of the prophets either in terms of like be good to the poor, kindness, compassion, mercy. What does it say? Love, justice, you know, act in mercy and walk humbly with your God, right? He wasn't following any of this. He was just living his own life, etc., etc., right? Besides, even the dogs, even Sticky the dog was coming and licking his sores. 22. Now, the poor man died. Right? What does it say next? And was carried away. Right. Now, suddenly, there's a line of separation. That line of separation is called death. Right? The poor man, Lazarus, died. Now, what do you do with a dead person's body? Would you wait for the angels to pick him up? No, because you'd be waiting a long time, right? But Jesus is saying here that this poor man died and was carried away. So now you two angels, you can carry him away to Abraham's bosom. So you can sit him on Temmie's lap there, right? Okay. Did you see how easy they did it? Maybe we should scratch one of the angels and just take one angel and just lift him up, right? But this is the point now. So the angels are there. Lazarus is there, right? There's another person here, Abraham. Now, it says here, now the poor man died and was carried away by the angels to Abraham's bosom. The rich man died also. So here, please, I won't do mountain of fire. Die. There we go. Right. Oh, actually, Wafa, no, come this way, please, because the people need to see you. Just lie yourself there. Good one. Now, this is for illustration only. With long life, he'll satisfy you and fullness of days. Hallelujah. Right. The rich man also died and was buried. But really, you could say, you see, that the rich man died and was buried too. Do you understand? But Jesus makes the differentiation, right? Jesus is saying the poor man got carried away, the rich man was buried. So in Jesus, one of the things that Jesus is saying about this thing, because this is like a window into the unseen world. It's very important to understand that. This isn't some tree, you know, Jesus sitting one day and decides, oh, I'll tell this and that and the other story. No, this is a parallel truth, right? The rich man also died and was buried. Verse 23. In Hades, which is what we would call hell, really. In fact, if you've got a King James Bible, I think it says in hell, because Hades is going to end up in hell anyway, if you read in the book of Revelation. In Hades, he lifted up his eyes. So now, Wafapi, your body is buried in the ground, but what? He has eyes. So while the worms are eating his natural eyes, are you catching this? Which means that there's a seen rich man and an unseen rich man. Until the point of death, the seen rich man and the unseen rich man were living in the same body. Right? The seen rich man died and was buried, but now the unseen rich man, who's now a disembodied spirit, he's not occupying his body anymore, or else he'll be getting himself up from the ground. Are you following me? Right. And he says this. He says, lifted up his eyes, being in torment. So not only did he have eyes, but he could feel what? Torment. You see, you can see me. You can see the natural me. Right now, because which is my spirit, and I, which is my body, are in the same place. I can walk around. I can interact in the natural touch, taste, smell, seen world. Hopefully I smell good. Hallelujah. Right? I can taste things. I can enjoy things through my natural body. Right? But one day, I am going to become disembodied from this body. This body is going to go in the ground. Roaches will have a nice time. Spiders will have a... See, if you fear spiders, then you must get saved. Because I guarantee you they're going to nest in your carcass. Whatever you do, you can embalm yourself a million times. That embalming fluid will run out one day. And they shall enjoy thee. Hallelujah. The wiggly worms. Anyone scared of worms? Get saved. Oh, yes. You see, because the place you want to be is carried away with the angels. You don't want to be with this dude. Are you listening to me? I mean, this is very, very important. This is spiritual realm 101. You are an unseen body living in a seen body. Do you understand? It's not the other way around. When you die, you don't die like a dog, like the way a dog will go and its life will go straight back to God and his carcass buried in the ground. No, you are a person. You have a personality. You are a spirit. You have a soul and you live in a body, right? Now look at this, right? This guy is completely and utterly cognizant. In torment, the Bible says, he saw Abraham far away. I said, Lord, how did he recognize Abraham? This guy is living 5,000 years after, about 3,000 years after Abraham, and yet he recognized, the Bible says he saw him afar off. I mean, I don't know how far my wife would have to be away from me for me to still recognize her. Probably 300-400 yards, the way she walks or whatever. But I've spent half a lifetime with her. But this guy, he knew instantly. This is Abraham. So he has got faculties in the unseen world which are greater than his faculties in the seen world. He's got the ability to comprehend. People don't realize. He said, nah, you know, there's no such thing as the invisible realm. Okay, well, you're driving and you're in traffic and suddenly you know somebody's looking at you from behind. So you look over and they're looking at you from another car. That ever happened to you? That's because you're a spirit. Used to happen to me in, I'd go out partying. This is before I got saved. I go out partying in North London and, you know, drug dealers hang out at parties because that's where they get their customers. Do you understand? You don't find them more, like, well, you might get the odd chav on a street corner down Hoxton or something like that. you know, trying to sell a bag of this or a bag of that. But, like, I mean, the deal, the proper, if you like, the evangelists of the drug world, they're always in parties because that's where they're trying to ply their trade, right? They're trying to move product, right? And I used to go to these, now I wasn't yet saved, I used to go to these parties instantly, bang, I knew who the dealer was. Didn't say a word, walk in the door. Like, it's a spiritual sensitivity. That's why I know law enforcement, they're not tapping the unseen world in the way they could in terms of catching criminals and stuff like that. Some of them do. But you ever get to it, you ever go to a party back in the day and you walk in the room and there would be someone there and you didn't like them. You didn't know them from Adam, but you didn't like them at all. Yeah. Something about them. Yeah. That's because these things, these unseen things are there. I remember walking into a Starbucks once out in Hertfordshire and someone walked in and I saw like a row of demons on each shoulder. Like, you know the way you'd get like a colonel in the army and you'd have these epaulets, these little pips, or an inspector in the police force, you get these things like these little pips here, and there were demons all along her shoulders. Like, I thought, whoa. And then she got her coffee, was talking to a friend. I thought, what is this? She got in her car, she drove away, she had the number plate witch. Oh. Yeah. Hmm. Yeah. I was coming back from football. I used to play football in Finsbury Park on a Saturday morning. Some of you, I think I've told this story before. And I was driving home from football training. It was about 11 o'clock on a Saturday morning. And I was driving down Seven Sisters Road. This is when I lived in Tottenham. And you come to a set of traffic lights at Woodbury Down. Anyone know Woodbury Down? And there's like three lanes. Seven Sisters Road is like three lanes each side. I hope this isn't too heavy. This is Sunday morning. Some of you look like it's Fright Night on a Friday night. And I'm driving along. And the next thing, I look in my rearview mirror and there is a demon on the bonnet of a car. And it's in my lane. It's coming towards me. It's in my lane. I thought, hey, Jesus. So I pulled in to the second lane. This car didn't stop. Smash. Straight into the car that would have been my car. Smash. Like 30, 40 mile an hour crash. Boom. God only knows what happened to that person. But I could tell. Now, obviously, two and two makes four. The guy was coming home from a party, a little too much weed, drink a little wine, smoke a little hash, sniff a little glue. Bit too much of the, what do they call it, oogie diggy. You will never forget that one. I should become their chief spokesman. A little too much giddy giddy. And bam, just crashed straight into the thing. Now, what was that? That's seeing into the unseen. May the Lord open your eyes in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I remember when we used to have church down in Burnt Oak, and there was a guy came in. He looked good on the outside. Any of you ever seen someone that looked good on the outside, but your spirit is... Well, this is what was happening with me and this guy. I can't remember how he got there or how it happened or anything like that. And somebody introduced me to him and he put out his hand. He said, oh, hi, my name's so-and-so. And he put out his hand to shake. The moment his hand touched mine, the Lord said, don't trust him. I said, oh, nice to me. You'd never know. Oh, Jesus. You would never know. I shook hands with him. I said, oh, nice to meet you, sir, blah, blah, blah. And he starts talking about all his ambitions and what he wants to do for God and how he wants to get this and that and the other and all that kind of stuff, right? I left it. I thought, well, you know, if it's God, it will manifest. We'll see what comes of it. About 3 months later, he comes to me after church and he comes with a pen and a form. And he says, oh, please, would you quickly sign my passport application? Different name. In fact, the picture didn't look entirely like him either. 419. Yeah, yeah. You see, a lot of this stuff, why does God want us to enter this unseen world? Right? Number one, it's the realm of eternity. Number two, it's the realm of the future. right? Jesus said this concerning the Holy Spirit. He'll take of what is mine and give it to you, and he will show you things to come. So we've got access to things to come that the world doesn't have. That's very, very important. Particularly, you know, if you're believing God like I am to be very, very prosperous, intensely prosperous, yeah, to the extent that the world's media focuses on me. That's when you know you're prosperous. When they start telling everyone how much your house is worth. Right now, they would laugh if I told them how much my house is worth. But one day, they'll cry. Hallelujah. Trust me. Trust me. I love what Jesse Duplantis said. You know, he's got a $26 million mansion. Jesse Duplantis. You know Brother Jesse? He preached here. Yeah. And the media, they came like seeking an interview with him. So he held a dinner party at his new house, $26 million mansion for them. And they said, "We really have a problem with your house." This is what they were saying to him. ABC News, all the news media, "We really have a problem with your house." He said, "You know what?" He said, "I don't think you have a problem with my house. You have a problem with your house." He said, "Because if I gave the keys of this house to you, you wouldn't have a problem." It's true. Yeah, it's true. And this is the thing, you see, this is why part of this unseen world training is that we've got to get what the word says in us so that the word is bigger than what the world's idea or mold of you is. See, the world has an idea of you already. You mention the word Christian to a person, and the world already has a preordained mold to fit you in. And Romans chapter 12, it says, don't be conformed to the image of this world, but be transformed, what? By the renewing of your mind. In other words, while your mind is still in your physical body, get it transformed by the word of God. That's what it says, because one day your mind is going to be separated from your physical body. It will still be your mind. And by God's grace, you'll be where this Lazarus boy is rather than where the rich man went. But that's about the deeds done in the body, right? Now, I want us to carry on focusing on this scripture a little bit more. Put it back there on the board. Right. He saw Abraham far away. So he recognized Abraham. He recognized Lazarus, right? 24. Verse 24. And he cried out. So he had a voice. That means that invisible things can speak. Hallelujah. Amen. Jesus answered the fig tree. Since when did a tree have a mouth to speak? But Jesus answered it. Interesting, isn't it? I hope God opens you up to this thing. It's something. Look at this. He says, "Have mercy on me and send Lazarus so that he..." So now he wants to employ Lazarus as his slave. Do you understand this man's opinion of Lazarus? You've got to be watchful about what you think of the poor. You've got to be really watchful. Really watchful. Jesus, the Lord's corrected me so many times. Because I used to be poor and now I'm rich, and I know how poor people think and I know how rich people think. But a lot of the time, poor people think poor because they don't know any better. You see, this rich man should have been thinking a bit better than he was. Send Lazarus. So let's employ Lazarus as my slave to bring me water, right? So that he may dip the tip of his finger. So Lazarus had fingers in the water and cool off my tongue. So the rich man had a tongue and he knew he was in pain. For I am what? In agony in this flame. Wow. And I thought to myself, you know what? God, this is weird. Some things that you learn about God, right? When you make Jesus Lord and you take the word of God as the word of God, right? You start to look at scripture a different way. And I thought to myself, wow, you know what, Lord? How many of you, right? If I stood opposite, now this is hypothetically again, if I stood Officer Lamptey up and I had some lighter fluid and I squeezed the lighter fluid all over him and then lit him up like a torch, how many of you would think that's a good thing to do? No. But here is this rich man in Hades in a flame. So this guy is experiencing flames. Wow. And then I read that scripture in Peter. What is it? I think it's 1 Peter 2:12. Stick that up on the board there and see if it's there. 1 Peter 2:12. 1 Peter 2:12. Are you getting something out of this morning? The spirit of exhortation is upon me today. Push into the unseen world. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, push into the unseen world. Hallelujah. Try verse 13, 1 Peter 2:13. Okay, no, let me find that. I wrote it down. It's, 2 Peter 2, verse 13. 2 Peter 2:13. Look at this. Suffering wrong as the wages of what? Doing wrong. You see, this rich man is there and he's suffering wrong. You see, it's wrong to set a person on fire, right? But he's suffering wrong as the wages of what? Doing wrong. God's no respecter of persons. If you do wrong, you'll suffer the wages of doing wrong. And the wages of doing wrong is wrong. Amen. This God, I mean, he's to be feared. We can't choose the way he wants to see life, love, and the pursuit of happiness. Do you see what I mean? It says the clay can't say to the potter, I've got no use for you. This is here, the earth is the Lord's. And some of this, like personally, I don't want to end up there. Hey, mommy, suffering wrong, it says. And if you read that whole scripture in 2 Peter, you'll understand about wrong behavior, what the Bible calls wrong behavior. May you live your life according to what's biblically correct and not what is according to political correctness. I've realized something, you know, in this day and age that we're living, you can only be either politically correct or biblically correct. Because the devil is driving a wedge between the two so that he can persecute God's people. It's the only reason he's doing it. He hates everybody. That's the devil. That's his nonsense. The Bible talks about wicked spirits in heavenly places. What's that? Places of influence. High places, it says in Scripture. High places. So now these guys here are still here guarding this man, right? Let's go back to Luke 16:24 again. Luke 16:24. So that he may dip his finger in and cool off my tongue, for I'm in agony in this flame. Verse 25. But Abraham said, child. So this guy is what? A child of who? Abraham. Abraham doesn't see anything wrong in this man suffering wrong. It's interesting, isn't it? There's a lot to this thing, but this is like a window into the unseen world. He said, during your life, you received your good things and you didn't share them. You didn't, like, you can read between the lines. This man's attitude towards Lazarus is what got him there. You weren't merciful to the poor. You didn't see life my way. You didn't know these things. In fact, in a couple of verses further on, it says, look, you had the law, you had the prophets, and you chose not to listen to them. Wow. So it's a heavy thing not to listen to God. It's a heavy thing. Well, I'm going to go off and serve another God. Go serve another God. Enjoy life. There's plenty of other gods, loads of them. There's one that demands a certain way of living. Fear God, the Bible says in the book of Revelation. In fact, one of the things that God releases in the end times is an angel to bring a message to the church that says, fear God. Fear God. Look at the next verse here, verse 26. Besides all this, there is a great chasm fixed, so that those who wish to come over from here to you will not be able, and that none may cross over from there to us. So there's two different worlds in the realm of the spirit. And verse 27, and he said, then I beg you, Father, that you send him. Listen to the attitude again. This guy is transfixed that this guy is his slave, even though this guy and this guy have got nothing in common. Right? Carry on, verse 28. For I have five brothers. Now, this is, do you remember I mentioned Herod Antipas? If you look at Herod Antipas, this thing fits the profile of this guy. It really fits it. And also, Herod Antipas was one of those adulterous kings. And the thing that Jesus was teaching at the very verse before this parable began was he was talking about divorce. So there's some sort of connection there. He says, so that they will not come to this place of torment. Verse 29. Abraham said, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. Well, now we have Moses, we have the prophets, and we have Jesus Christ. We have Paul the apostle. We've got Peter and James and John. We've got, literally in our generation, the word of God is everywhere. Even like Prophet Nana says, even on some people's fingernails. You get John 3:16 now on your fingernails. You can get it on your cufflinks. There's a master silversmith that writes John 3:16 on cufflinks so small you need a magnifying glass to look at them. Won't be long before they'll write it in atoms. You know, IBM wrote their name in atoms. Isn't that amazing? They wrote the letters IBM in atoms. Amazing. This world we live in, there's just, you know, we are the most informed and least transformed generation in the history of mankind. Let them hear them. Verse 30. But he said what? No, Father Abraham. No, now you imagine, this guy, he needs help. He's burning in flames and he's telling him and him what to do. Wow. There's something wrong. The spirit of this guy has been set in a certain manner that is so wrong to God that now he's of no earthly use because he's dead, his body is buried in the ground, and now even he's no heavenly use whatsoever. No, Father Abraham. No, no, no. Are you getting something here? May God open your eyes to the unseen world. The unseen world is much greater than the seen. Verse 31. Or is that? Yeah, he said, if they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be persuaded, what? Even if someone rises from the dead. Peter said, and we are witnesses of his resurrection. Wow. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, you've got work to do. Now, put your hands together for these guys. Take your seats, please. We've got work to do. We've got work to do. We've got to remember, fear God, serve God. We've got to remember this thing is like, I feel like, you know, a lot of the time in my preaching, it's like I can give you something that's like, you know, nice diced up portions of something. But this one, I feel like I'm feeding you raw meat. Yes. You got to go home, take it and cook it up. Like Heston Blumenthal, in Jesus' mighty name. With that thing he did with oxtail, Jesus, glory to God, you should look at it online. Glory be to Jesus. Now, I just want to finish by this scripture. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 12. 1 Peter 2:12. This is how we've got to see life. 1 Peter 2:12. He says, keep your behavior excellent among the Gentiles so that the thing in which they slander you as evildoers, they may, because of your good deeds as they observe them, glorify God in the day of visitation. There's something about the way that we live that will cause people either to get saved or to reject God. And this is one of the things, you know, we've got to understand that this is one of the things that can witness to where a person goes eternally, how we conduct our lives. Our conduct, it's got to be, you know, it says, let your conduct be without the love of money in one area. Then it says, you know, it says, refuse all kinds of immorality and fornication. Don't go the world's way in life. Follow God, fear God. Follow him and fear him in the name of Jesus. The Bible says also, it says, as strangers and aliens in life. So we've got to go about. In fact, if you look at 1 Peter 2:11, it says, "Beloved, I urge you as aliens and strangers." So you've got to live life as though you are what? An alien. See, you can tell your neighbours tomorrow, you know, what did you do, you know, when you were at work chatting? What did you do? Oh, well, I went to church. Oh, was it any good? Yeah, I found out I'm an alien. And then just do some funny hand signal like, phone home, or something like that. And remind yourself of these things. Beloved, I urge you as aliens and what? Strangers. We can get a bit too comfortable in this world, particularly in Western Christianity. We can forget that our lives should be about thy kingdom come and thy will be done on earth, and that we think it's all about me and building as much income as I can and just having a nice life and a nice house and fancy car. I mean, by God's grace, you'll have loads of houses and loads of fancy cars, but your heart shouldn't be there. It's where your heart dwells. I said it's where your heart dwells. It's the ultimate destination. You've got to remember one day not to be like the rich man. You've got to be like more like the Lazarus guy. Now, that doesn't mean that you suffer poverty. Poverty's a curse. However that guy got there, Lazarus, at this rich man's gate where everything began. The Bible doesn't go into that. But it does say clearly that poverty is a curse. So this guy suffered a curse all through his life. And actually, you know what? The guy that was ordained to help him was the rich man. It's interesting, isn't it? May you never miss your Lazarus in Jesus' mighty name. May you never miss them in Jesus' name. Stand to your feet now. We're going to thank God for his word. Take this thing home and cook it. Take it home and cook it in Jesus' mighty name. Father, Lord, we thank you for this 21-day program that we've had. We thank you, Lord God, that the issues and the character stuff in our hearts that we have been examining, Lord God. Your word says in the book of Zechariah about compassion, about kindness, about having mercy, about pitying the poor. The Bible says that he who has mercy on the poor lends to God and he will repay. And Father, Lord, we know one of the reasons why this man ended up in flames, suffering wrong as the consequences of doing wrong, was that he wasn't hearing your voice. May we hear your voice, Lord. May we know your voice. May we follow your voice. May the unseen world be bigger than the seen world, Father, in our lives. Thank you, Jesus. God, we give you glory and praise, and we thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your favor. Let that favor overflow on us, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. And all God's people said, amen and amen. Praise God.